376. That is the number of law enforcement officers that responded to the school shooting in Uvalde, Texas in May, where 19 students and two teachers were killed. But it still took more than an hour before the gunman was confronted and killed. That's all according to a new report on what happened from the Texas House Committee investigating the shooting. That report found a number of failures, not just among law enforcement. Texas Public Radio's Jerry Clayton joins us from San Antonio for more. Welcome, Jerry.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And I want to start with the response of law enforcement. Here's State Representative Dustin Burroughs, Republican of Lubbock, at a press conference yesterday.
That day, several officers in the hallway or in that building knew or should have known there was dying in that classroom. And they should have done more, acted with urgency, tried the door handles, tried to go in through the windows, tried to distract him, tried to do something to address the situation.
And State Representative Burroughs also said that not all officers at the school that day knew what was happening. Some had false information, and some were told that the school district police chief was negotiating with the attacker, which wasn't true. What did we learn from this report about just the fact that there were so many officers there and such a slow response?
Well, the report spreads the blame around for everyone to the, as far as the botched response goes, across all those different agencies, including the tiny school district police force and its chief, the local police department, and also the state and federal law enforcement that were on the scene as well. And as you mentioned, 376 officers ultimately responded. 150 of those were Border Patrol agents and almost 100 officers from the State Department of Public Safety. And it took those officers 77 minutes before the first shots were fired, before they finally burst in and killed the 18-year-old gunman. No one seemed to know who was in charge, and ultimately no one took charge to lead a coordinated and cohesive response. It also sounds like radio communications were totally ineffective between the agencies. Some officers responded, as you mentioned, were given incorrect information, and we found that all that, of course, was completely false.
The report also looked at warning signs about the shooter. What signs were missed there?
There were so many warning signs. Investigators found that the attacker had been communicating on various social media platforms in the days and weeks before the shootings. He was sharing pictures of his weapons and given ominous warnings. And no one did anything. While some of the threats had been reported on the platforms where they took place, they didn't even result in restrictions on the gunman's usage and didn't appear to be flagged for any law enforcement agencies. He also sent out threats on social media of graphic descriptions of violence and rape. And he was fired from his job at a hamburger restaurant in 2021 for threatening a female coworker. In fact, due to several things that he said to his friends and coworkers, he actually earned the nickname School Shooter. And back in 2020, there was a blowout argument between he and his mother that was live streamed on Instagram, and several members of the family saw that. And although the sheriff's department eventually responded, they didn't make any arrests there either.
Wow. So all of those warning signs laid out there, did the committee get into the fact that this young man was legally able to buy a high-powered rifle?
Yes, as soon as he started buying accessories before he turned 18 for the weapons, and then on or shortly after his birthday, he was able to purchase two rifles. And in fact, his uncle drove him to the gun store twice to pick up rifles after his grandmother told him that he couldn't keep the guns in her home. His uncle allowed him to keep one of the weapons at his house.
What have family members of the victims said about this report?
Many of them are still trying to digest what they're hearing. The families, in most cases, have been hesitant to lay the blame on their local law enforcement, but there's been enough blame to go around. They have been critical of DPS for trying to blame local officials when there were so many state troopers at the scene, and many are very frustrated still. It doesn't seem like the report has been a lot of comfort for these families. As a matter of fact, at yesterday's press conference in Uvalde with the Texas House Committee members, When it was over, you could hear after the news conference ended several people yelling at the members for more answers. It was unclear if those were family members or members of the public, but it's obvious that the report has been little solace so far, and there are still a lot of questions with the victims' families.
And Jerry, with the 30 seconds we have you here, what official action should we expect to now come from this report?
The mayor of Uvalde has said that they're going to do an independent investigation. He also has placed the police chief, Mariana Pargas, on administrative leave. As far as action, that's a big question. Many of the victims' families are promoting more gun control in the state, and it's a big question as to whether any real gun reform could happen given the political climate and gun culture in Texas.
Texas Public Radio's Jerry Clayton, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, anytime.